Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Amen.
I wonder, how does it feel walking into church on a Sunday morning? How did it feel walking to church this Sunday morning? I was talking to a friend this week who said they'd had a conversation with someone else, and that person had been honest enough to say to them, every Sunday when I walk into church, I feel like I have to bring my A game. I was listening to a podcast this week with a guy in ministry describing what he called a car park conversion. Not people coming to faith in Jesus in a car park, but that moment that I'm sure we've all experienced at some point in our lives. At home, before we've come out to church, we have a massive row with a spouse, a parent, a child, a housemate. We get to church, we park the car in the car park or on one of the roads around, and all of a sudden, all is well with the world. We get out of the car, we come to church, someone asks how we are, oh, everything's great. Like that. We pretend life's great. We pretend we're on top of the world when we're not. I wonder if you can relate to that. See, so often church feels like just another place we have to prove ourselves. Most of us spend most of the week under pressure to prove ourselves, under pressure to impress others. We walk into church and we would hope for something different, wouldn't we? And yet so often, here and at churches across the country, across the world, church can just feel like more of the same. Another place where we have to bring our A game, another place where we have to impress others, another place where we have to perform. What if church wasn't like that? What if time with God's people was like an oasis, rather than just an extension of the desert? Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be drawn into the church that meets in Philemon's house. And we're going to see today that that church, for those who went there, was like an oasis. Look down with me at verse 7. Paul, speaking of Philemon, says that you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Over the next couple of days, we're all going to be thinking an awful lot about refreshment. But I wonder what picture comes into your mind when you think about refreshment. Maybe it's an oasis in the desert. Maybe it's a shower after a long run. Maybe it's a cold drink after hours of slogging away in the garden. Maybe it's just that moment where you can finally sit down and put your feet up after a long day of work. That moment where you can suddenly exhale. Refreshment. Well, according to Paul, that's what it was like for God's people to be in Philemon's company. Paul says that for God's people who knew Philemon, that's what time in his presence was like. It was like that moment where you can just suddenly exhale and relax, where you can be refreshed It speaks of the heart being refreshed, and the word here for heart is not the normal word that gets used through Scripture. It's a word that only comes up a few times, and it refers to the very deepest part of yourself, the very depths of you. And Paul is saying that Philemon, when he meets people, when he spends time with them, their very depths are refreshed. All of our hearts, all of our deepest selves toil in this world, don't they? None of us can say that we find life easy all of the time. Struggles at home, struggles at work, struggles within ourselves, struggles due to circumstances out there, struggles due to battles in here. And yet to feelings like that, Paul says Philemon gives refreshment. He gives refreshment. And he wasn't the first person to ever give such refreshment. See, that word for refreshment that we get, that word refreshed, it's come up before in the Bible. Translated slightly differently, but it's the same word, and it's from a verse we all know really well. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you, says Jesus. See, the promise that Jesus brings is the promise of rest, refreshment for weary souls. That is found in Jesus alone. And for those who have found it in Jesus, it is then available through the Lord's people. Found in Jesus and available through the Lord's people. See, what does Jesus do? He gives our souls our deepest longings. He gives them rest. And then he puts brothers and sisters around us to remind us of that rest, to point us to that rest, to re-refresh us with that rest. Don't you long to know Philemon? Wouldn't you love to have Philemon in your church? Wouldn't you love to experience some of that refreshment that the Lord's people experience here, Sunday by Sunday? Wouldn't you love to come here and not have to bring your A-game? To not have to do that car park conversion moment just to be able to be presentable in church? Wouldn't you love church to be a place where there is nothing to prove? Where church is a place of rest, not a place of performance? Wouldn't you love this to be a place where others refresh you in your weariness? Where you can be around others who refresh you by their words, refresh you by their actions, and refresh you by just reminding you that there are other people in this world who believe the same things that you do. Because you probably spend all week around a bunch of people who think exactly the opposite half the time. Whether that's at work, at school, wherever it may be. But more than that, we long to experience this. Don't we long to be like this? I wonder how you'd like to be described by someone. Wouldn't you love it if a Christian says to another Christian about you, they refresh the hearts of the Lord's people? Wouldn't you love that to be true of you? That you are one who refreshes others in their times of need? Well, how can this happen? How can this be the case for us? We've got one big thing we're going to see this morning. We're going to see it in two halves. Firstly, love and faith towards Jesus. Love and faith towards Jesus. If we're to grasp how Philemon acts like this, we need to see something of Philemon's story. We don't have loads of detail, but there's bits we can pick out. So look at verses 1 and 2. See how Paul describes Philemon, a dear friend, a fellow worker, and one who has a church that meets in his home. Firstly, he's a dear friend. That is, Paul has met Philemon, Paul knows Philemon. Most likely, Paul is the one through whom Philemon came to faith in the first place. Paul knows and cares for this Philemon. Philemon knows and cares about Paul. More than that, he's a fellow worker. That is, they don't just know each other. They are working towards the same goal. Both Paul and Philemon long that Jesus has brought glory as people turn to and live for Jesus. Thirdly, we see that there's a church that meets in his house. Because in the first century, that's where churches met. Normally in the largest home out of the people in that congregation. And so, by implication, Philemon probably has a fair level of wealth, such that he has the biggest home of those in that church. But he uses that wealth, he uses his resources to love and serve God's people. The church meets in his home. It's very possible, probable, that this is the church that the letter to the Colossians is written to. The church in Colossae. It's probably that church that meets in his home. That's probably where Philemon lives. Philemon knows Jesus, knows Jesus' people, and is committed to serving Jesus' people because of what he's experienced of Jesus. Because as we look down, we see what Philemon has come to experience of Jesus. There are not that many times where I think the translators don't help us. This is one of those times. When those moments come, other translations normally do. Verse 5, I think the ESV captures it better. So here's how the ESV captures verse 5. Because I, Paul, hear of your Philemon, your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. That it is love and faith towards Jesus and love and faith towards others. Not as the NIV kind of captures it, that it's kind of love for God's people and faith in Jesus. No, it's love and faith both towards Jesus and then both shown outwardly towards others. Philemon has come to love Jesus. He has come to put his faith in Jesus. As we'll see later, both of those lead to action towards others. Why would Philemon love Jesus? Well, 1 John 4:19 reminds us that we love because he first loved us. We only love Jesus and we only love Jesus' people because first we have been loved by God. Philemon has experienced refreshment of heart from Christ himself. He has experienced that rest for weary souls that only Jesus can bring. 1 John tells us that this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's what Philemon has experienced. Not that he has lived a good life and he knows that means God loves him, but he knows that he hasn't loved God. He's run away from God, that he has loved other things, but that God has loved him so much that despite the fact that Philemon doesn't love God, God sent his son into the world to be an atoning sacrifice, to pay for the sins of Philemon and others. Philemon has come to know that. And so he has come to the one who pays his penalty. And he has received that rest that weary, burdened sinners can receive. That's why Philemon loves Jesus. That's why we do, if we're one of his people. If you're here this morning and you're not one of his people, be really clear. Jesus is committed to loving all those who turn to him. Be really clear that the way to be a Christian is not to show that you love God. It is to know that God loves you and sent his son to die for you. If you need to understand more of what that means, do come and talk to me. Philemon knew that love, and it transformed his life and his attitude. And the same can be true for us. We should expect, if we're one of God's people, that our life and our attitude will be transformed because of Jesus' love for us. Love and faith towards Jesus, secondly, second half of our 1 point, leads to heart-refreshing love for God's people. Love and faith towards Jesus leads to heart-refreshing love for God's people. There's a really simple dynamic that runs throughout the New Testament. Those who are saved by Jesus will increasingly act like Jesus. Those who are saved by Jesus will increasingly act like Jesus. And we see something of that in verse 6. Verse 6 is a bit of a puzzling verse. It's pretty hard to work out exactly what's going on. There's lots I think we don't know. When it talks about Philemon's partnership with Paul in the faith, what does that quite mean? Lots of different ways to take that. What is the every good thing they share? Lots of different ways we can take that. There is one thing that's abundantly clear in verse 6. Paul longs for a deepening in Philemon's life. He longs for something to go deeper. And given that verse 5 and verse 7 both talk of Philemon's love for God's people, it is highly likely that is at least part of what's in view. Paul longs that Philemon will go deeper into that love for God's people. He sees it in action. He sees that Philemon loves God's people enough to refresh their hearts. But he longs for more of that. That is what he prays for in the life of Philemon. He's not satisfied with just a bit of it. However much he sees, he wants more. So picture the miner, not the young child, the person who mines for a living. Imagine they're somewhere and they dig a few centimetres down and they start to find some gold residue. They're not going to say, great, I found a few snippets, I'll just take those home and be happy. They're going to rush out, buy the field and dig down deep. Because the surface level, the little bit they found just underneath, is not going to be sufficient. They won't be happy to stay at that level. And Paul is saying, whatever level of love he sees in God's people, he longs that there is more of that. You can't love God's people too much. So go deeper into it. Go deeper and deeper. As we experience more of God's love for us, more of every good thing we share as God's people, we should long that we would love one another more deeply. That we would more deeply refresh one another's hearts week by week. And long that we too would experience more of that refreshment. Paul hears of that refreshment that Philemon gives to other believers. And look, verse 7, at the effect it has on Paul. Your love, Paul says, has given me great joy and encouragement. Great joy. Joy that exceeds seeing your favourite sports team win. Joy that lasts. Joy that causes Paul's heart to bubble over every time he thinks of Philemon. He gives thanks for him. That's his default mode because he sees the Lord at work in the life of Philemon. Not only great joy, but also encouragement. We know from verse 1 that Paul writes this letter from prison. Very possibly he writes it at the same time as he writes the letter to the Colossians, and they're kind of sent together. As Paul sits in prison, there must have been points where he really wonders whether it's all worth it. Oh, he's sure that Jesus is real. He's sure that Jesus is the one to follow. But there must have been times in that prison cell where he wonders, is it really worth all this? When the doubts came for Paul, it is people like Philemon that gave him the encouragement to keep going. The encouragement that this really is worth it. Because God really is at work in the life of his people. He really is bringing people to know Jesus and transforming them to be like him. And transforming them to be like him by providing that same heart-refreshing love that Jesus offers to all those who come to him. Philemon refreshes the hearts of the Lord's people. Time in Philemon's company is like an oasis in the desert. It's like a shower after a long run. It's like a cold drink after hours slogging away in the garden. It is like finally sitting down after a long day's work. It is that deep breath moment. But it's not physical refreshment. It is deep down spiritual refreshment. That is what time in Philemon's company was for God's people. I want you to imagine with me a Sunday in Philemon's house. Imagine a lady called Martha wanders in. She's part of the church family. She's one of the Lord's people. Martha has had a really rough week. Life is really hard for Martha. And this particular week, it's been even harder because her crop has failed. Her family is struggling to make ends meet. She arrives at Philemon's house, just feeling so weary of heart, pressed down by the circumstances of life. She goes into Philemon's house. They have a meal together, as was often the case in first century churches. She ends up sitting next to Philemon at the meal. They get chatting. She's honest enough to not do that car park conversion thing. She's honest enough to actually tell Philemon what's going on in her life that week. Philemon takes the time to listen, deeply and carefully. And then he reminds her of all that she has in Christ and of how the church is here to help her in her time of material need. Over the course of that Lord's Day together, they sing together of the Lord's goodness. They hear God's word taught. They hear of the love that Jesus has for them. They break bread together. They pour out their hearts in prayer for one another to the Lord. How does Martha walk out of Philemon's house? She doesn't walk out the same as she walked in, does she? No, she walks out refreshed. Not because her crop is resurrected, but because she remembers that Jesus is. She remembers that Jesus is raised from the dead and that he is the one who is worth following, that he is the one who gives rest to her weary soul. And she remembers that he has put people around her to walk alongside her. Her heart, her deepest self, is refreshed by time with the Lord's people. Not because she's had a car park conversion. Not because she's been on her A game that day. Not because she's performed under pressure. Not because she's showed how godly she is to others and she walks out thinking she's done a pretty good job of presenting herself that way. No, instead, she has been deeply refreshed because she's met with the Lord, because she's met with the Lord's people. What about here at Woody Road? Well, one of the wonderful privileges of preaching to this church family is I'm not standing up here and saying, and there is none of this happening and you need to sort it out. No, Paul's words are apt. I thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love and faith towards Jesus and for all his holy people. That is happening here. Your love is giving me and others great joy and encouragement because you are refreshing the hearts of the Lord's people. It's happening. It's a wonderful privilege to know it's happening, to see it happening in ways that I guess most of us don't see. And yet, what does Paul long for Philemon? That it would happen more. That you would go deeper into that reality. And so as we gather Sunday by Sunday, let's go deeper into this. May our love for the Lord's people, our heart-refreshing love for the Lord's people, go deeper week by week. And oh, that it wouldn't just happen on a Sunday. Oh, that it would happen every day. Oh, that it would happen in our home groups. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our home groups felt like an oasis for the soul in the middle of a desert of a week? Wouldn't it be great if that was true? If you're part of a home group, why not make that your aspiration? That for others, that's how it would feel. If you're not part of a home group and you long for an oasis in the midst of the desert, come and talk to me. I'd love to help you find a home group that will do that for you. However much this is happening, Paul longs for it to happen more and more, and we should too. And the way it's going to happen more and more is as we be refreshers. You see, it's easy to hear a passage like this and go, okay, right, so the application this morning is I need to sit back and I need to wait for someone to come and refresh me because I really need it. And hey, honestly, there are some of you guys who right now probably really do need refreshment. I know that. I know some of the burdens you guys are carrying. But the application this morning is more, go and refresh others. And as you go and refresh others, pray that the Lord would provide others to refresh you. Go and refresh others and pray that the Lord would provide others to refresh you. Maybe you long to be a refresher, but you have no idea where to start. It's a really simple way to start. Here's two questions. Ask one or both of them after the service to someone. Why not ask them what's been hard this week? Why not ask them what's making them feel weary at the moment? Because I can guarantee if the person you ask that is honest, there will be answers to both those questions. The reality of being a sinner in a sinful world, being a finite human in a painful world, is that there are things that we all find hard every single week. There are things that make all of us feel weary. That's the reality. However much we've tried to pretend they're not there, they are. If we're honest enough to admit them, they're there. So why not ask someone after the service, what's been hard about this week? What's making you feel weary at the moment? And if you're asked one of those questions, do the brave thing and be honest, even if you know that being honest will lead to tears. Because that is how refreshment of heart comes. And as you ask those questions, resist the temptation to speak too quickly. Listen carefully, gently, at the right time, speak truth. Refresh the hearts of the Lord's people, because we all need it, don't we? But this can't come by us just resolving to do it. We can't just say, right, I am going to refresh the hearts of the Lord's people today, and I can do it. Because we need to remember, how does it happen for Philemon? Well, do you remember the dynamic for Philemon? He had love and faith towards Jesus, and that is what led to love and faith for all God's people. What do we need to do if we're to be refreshers of heart? We need to drink deeply from the well of refreshment that only Jesus provides. Come to him, all who are weary and heavy laden. He will give you rest. He ongoingly will give you rest for your soul. And as he does, having drunk from that well yourself, seek to refresh the Lord's people. So that this place, Sunday by Sunday, would not be a place where anyone feels they need to bring their A game. Would not be a place where people feel like they have to go through that car park conversion moment. It would not be a place where people feel they need to perform, put on an act, pretend they're doing well in the Christian life when they're really struggling. But instead, that this place would feel like an oasis for the soul, where we in our deepest selves are refreshed because we and others have drunk from the well of refreshment that only Jesus provides. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you so much for the Lord Jesus, the one who refreshes our hearts. Thank you that all who come to him, those who are weary and heavy laden, receive rest for their souls. Thank you for that wonderful, jaw-dropping promise. And Father, thank you that as we experience it from Jesus, we too can experience it amongst the Lord's people. Please help us to be those who refresh the hearts of the Lord's people and who find refreshment for our hearts from the Lord's people. Please do that work in us, we pray, that we would increasingly grow deeper and deeper into every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. That's in his name we pray. Amen.